Mark chapter 16. Brother Mark has been teaching on the church and all aspects regarding such, from its beginning to its operation and ordinances and such as that. I sure appreciate that. Last Sunday, he touched upon this verse and the baptism. Baptismal regenerationists will look to this verse to try to sell the bill of goods that folks are saved by baptism, and they are not. And that just rang through the week here, and so I thought I would, with the Lord's blessing, bring a message regarding this. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 14, afterward he, that is Jesus, appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. And so, if it happened to them, it can happen to us. And may the Lord help us that we avail ourselves to that preparation and blessing and provision of our Lord given unto us. Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. I want to focus here on verse number 16, where the Lord Jesus declares unto the disciples and to us, he's giving them his church, the Great Commission, and as we have it here also, unto the Lord giving it to that first church that has imparted it to every church that has been since that time and will be. And then he says, he that believeth, verse 16, and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Again, the baptism regenerationalists, they want to take this passage and say that baptism needs to be added to faith for the salvation of the soul. And that's exactly not what this passage is speaking about. But it's speaking about, I believe, that one way that we can deal with it and understand it and see what the Scripture, what our Lord is speaking about and what the Scripture bears out is the threefold salvation that we have in our Lord. Threefold salvation is indeed at hand. First, let's touch on this. In Genesis chapter 2, we see that the soul lives forever. You and I have been made in the image and likeness of God. And in that, the Lord has imparted characteristics, features, and operational things about the way the Lord is, his presence, his goodness, his the trifold existence of God. He's imparted some of those things, aspects of himself upon mankind. In Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And that soul lives forever. As the Lord is forever, he never had a beginning. We have a beginning. But as he is forever, so is mankind. We live forever once we are given life. The everlasting life of the soul is a truth that is declared by the Scriptures. Let's go over here to Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 is our brother closes out this book. Given unto him, these words given unto him, this prophecy and blessing given unto him. We see here in verse number 2 of Daniel 12, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, but we know from the Scriptures that all will awake. In John chapter 5, it's very clear the Lord Jesus there telling about the judgments. the judgments of the righteous and the redeemed, and the judgments of the damned. No soul will escape the Lord, and no soul will ever just go away. Now, you and I, we've had pets or have pets. And when animals, which are a creation of God, when they die, they're dead. And it's over. Animals don't go to heaven. Animals don't go to hell. Animals live on this earth, and they die, and that's it. But see, we're not like the animals. We are not animals, but we're mankind, created in the image and likeness of God. And you know what? God is the holder and the giver of life, is he not? The creator of life. And when he does in that sense, he has given to all everlasting life, in that the soul lives forever. Now, there's more to our existence and more to our need because of sin. That everybody lives forever. The soul lives forever. In Mark chapter 9, and this is to the negative, in Mark chapter 9, verse number 42, we'll pick it up here, the Lord Jesus preaching in Mark 9, 42, "And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than to having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." In Daniel, we saw about some that are raised and awake to life everlasting, to everlasting life, it says there. But there are those that will go into hell and will be there. And this reference to the worm is, I believe that is to their soul, to their very existence. And their worm dieth not. The fire is never quenched. And notice this in this passage. Verse 45. "And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, and into the fire that never shall be quenched. Again, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Verse 47, "And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another." Several things the Lord's dealing with here in this passage, but we want to just take note of this. Three times over, the Lord says, those that are sent to hell by the Lord live there and are awake, and their souls exist, and this fire is not quenched. It is not quenched, and their worm, their soul, dieth not. They are there forever. Isaiah 66, the existence and permanence of the soul. The soul, the most valuable thing that you and I have is our own soul. And it is an eternal soul. And it will live forever someplace. Isaiah 66, verse number 22, our Lord wrapping up this book of Isaiah, Brother Isaiah getting the prophecy and this word of the Lord to write. In verse 22 of Isaiah 66, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make," God speaking, "shall remain before me, saith the Lord," God created, and will cause his creation, everything that God has done will stand and will last eternally. Now, this old earth here and all of space has been defiled by man because of our sin. But you know what? That doesn't thwart God. God created a heaven and earth, and there's going to be a heaven and earth that wherein dwelleth righteousness. Okay? So he speaks of this new heaven and this new earth. And he says here, "Shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, And from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. So there's the worshipers of God. And those worshipers, they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. I don't understand all about when or how this is going to be, but I tell you what, it's going to be. And the worshipers of the Lord are going to be able to see, evidently at some time, maybe the millennial reign, maybe the eternal kingdom, I do not know. Remember, hell is God's place, and will look upon the wicked and the disobedient who will not die, but live in torment forever and ever and ever. The worshipers live forever, and the disobedient live forever, because the soul that God has given unto mankind is eternal. And in Revelation chapter 20, we see this told about here again in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, the heaven and the earth. It's seemingly that we're down at this point to the throne room of God, and that's what it is in the souls of men. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And they are very much alive. Oh, this old physical body has died, but the soul has lived on, if you will, for a time, whatever time remained until the end of the age, or until this time of judgment. And they were brought up out of there very much alive. It's not dead corpses standing around that God's judging, but living souls of men that are judged according to their works. And then they are given a body fitted for destruction. They have that, I guess, but they will get that. We could debate about that. And they are cast into the lake of fire. What's it say? And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, verse 13. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Death in the grave there, cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The soul lives forever. The soul lives forever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which also concerning them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. What's it say? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Live forever. Live forever. And so the soul given by God unto men and women, boys and girls, will live forever. So we think there in Mark 16:16, our Lord declares, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth, this threefold salvation that is hand here, the salvation of the soul. In Luke chapter 8, got a lot of passages to touch on this morning, and so I hope you got your Bible greased up. Luke chapter 8, verse number 12. The scripture says here in this verse, our Lord speaking, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Here we have the parables of the four types of ground. That first on the roadway, the hard-packed roadway, the seed is sown there, and the birds and fowls of the air come and gobble it up and take it away. The Lord, when he explains the parable, says that that is Satan. And that is one of his works, what he does. He snatches out the word of God out of the hearts and souls of men. What's he say there? What's Jesus say? Lest they should believe and be saved. You know what? There's another type of ground here that we see that folks are saved, aren't they? They do hear the word of the Lord, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the saving grace of an atonement and redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. They see their wickedness and conviction of sin. They repent. They believe the Lord saves their souls. These are not saved. They did not hear the word. It's snatched away, the Lord tells us. But there are those that do hear the word and do believe, are saved by the Lord. And what is it that happens? Their souls are saved. They're the redeemed. They're the redeemed, saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 16, we see here this passage in verse number 31. Here with the Paul with the Philippian jailer here in Philippi, and I trust you know the account regarding this man, and the Lord working mightily, and the opening of the prison and all that. The jailer is going to kill himself. Paul cries out and says, "Do thyself no harm." Verse 28. The jailer calls for a light, springs in there. He asks, he says in verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, what? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour and that night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized. Not to be saved, but because they were saved. As the apostle declared unto them, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." It's good for you, and it's good for those at home. Believe in the Lord. Rest and trust in him and what he's done. They preached to him about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened? That man was saved. His house were saved. And they followed on in and what they were told and preached and taught by the apostle relative to our passage, our text passage there in Mark 6:17 or 6:16. We're going to see more about that. But the threefold salvation, and first is the salvation of the soul. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. What's it say here? The Apostle Paul bearing out in the church at Rome and to us about those things, the working of God in the soul and how he brings the word and what the word of the Lord declares unto sinners. And what's it say here in verse number 8? We'll pick it up. "But what saith it? The word. What saith the word? The word is nigh thee, near thee, and even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith. What is the word of faith? Believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't try to save yourself. Trust in Christ to save you. He's the Savior. He says here, "That is the word of faith in Jesus, which we preach," if you will, "that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." The salvation of the soul. In Psalm 49, the psalmist knew and understood by the Spirit of the Lord declared these words here in Psalm 49. We pick it up in verse number 6. "They that trust in their wealth," this is the way it is with mankind. We want to trust in everything that's under the sun other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to rest and trust in him. "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches We've seen that with our study of Tyrus, haven't we? That will not avail to the salvation of the soul. That will not avail to a debate with God about the necessity of the soul. None of them can by any means redeem his brother. You can't buy back your brother. You can't buy back your neighbor with the wealth of this world. You can't buy your own self from God and the sin that is at hand in this world. He says, none can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. He's guilty, condemned, and tried by God. It is the condemnation, the coming damnation because of the guilt of sin is at hand. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. We see here that the redemption of souls requires a very precious thing. The soul itself is a precious thing. It can only be redeemed. What's it say in verse number 9? For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. I tell you what, it takes something other than what men have to redeem that precious soul, and the redemption of such is precious because the only redemption that there is the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood, his body, his soul for the salvation of the sinner. You need Christ. We need Christ indeed. Paul writes about this. Once again, we mention it in Acts 20:21. The ministry, his entire ministry was dedicated to this, the declaration of this verse, Acts 20:21, testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks, to every person, everyone, everywhere, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how sinners are saved. Threefold salvation. There's a salvation of the soul, isn't there? Scripture's clear about that. If you're here and you're not saved, you need your soul saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only help and hope that you have is in him. Okay, so there's one aspect. In John chapter 10, verse number 10. In John chapter 10, look what Jesus says here. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The Lord has given a scenario, an example, a parable here, talking about the sheepfold, talking about the door of the sheepfold, talking about the shepherd of the sheepfold, talking about the porter of the sheepfold, talking about the sheep. That's us. That's we who are saved. That's the care that the Lord has for us. That's the working that our Lord has for us. He talks about the stranger that will not be followed by the sheep. And he says, the thief, the stranger, comes to do these things. I am come, there in the middle of verse 10, that they might have life, the sheep might have life. That's how we live, salvation of the soul. And that they might have life, it, more abundantly. Here we have, I think we have the introduction of the number two, the salvation of the soul, number one. Number two, the salvation of the life. The salvation of the life. Well, we got to understand, and this dovetails right in and connects right in with what Brother Bobby read this morning and what I mentioned to you during our devotional time. Jesus says that he's come that the sheep might have life, salvation of the soul, and that they might have it more abundantly. And I believe that that starts, is to start immediately upon the salvation of the soul. Jesus just didn't save and provide for salvation and then just let us wonder. But he's got a design and a plan. He's got a working. In our text, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Understand what the Lord is saying there. Understand what he's giving and introducing there, the thought that is at hand. Believing in Christ is the salvation of the soul. But what is it about baptism? Now, if you haven't been here at Sunday school, Brother Mark's been telling about it. You need to be here at Sunday school to learn those things. What is baptism? What is baptism? It's a token. It's a symbol. It's symbology. For the person that is baptized, a saved person, for the reason of testifying of Christ and what's happened within them by the authority of one of the Lord's churches whom he gave baptism, the administration of baptism to, in the immersing, submerging in water to typify death. When somebody's baptized, they're making that proclamation and they are joining the Lord's church. Our Lord's design for an abundant and victorious life. You hear that? An abundant and victorious life in our Lord starts with the salvation of the soul. And then obeying Him for the rest of your life. Amen? I mean, Jesus just hasn't been talking in the Scriptures just so He can talk, have a book, and it hold our shelves down at home or hold a door open somewhere or keep a back part of the back glass on a sedan. No, hardly nobody drives a sedan anymore. You know that? From fading. You ever seen that? A Bible laying in the back window of a sedan and it gets moved and you can see where the back part of that liner there didn't fade. The Lord didn't make a Bible just to be a sunshade for the back liner in the back of a sedan. Probably some don't even know what I'm talking about. These young kids don't even know what I'm talking about. But we've seen it, haven't we? He gave His Word so His children might hear and obey and have an abundant life. So by the salvation of the soul, the obedience of the Lord to do the first works of baptism, which that's what baptism is a work to publicly testify of salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, to do that first work of becoming a member of one of His New Testament Baptist churches. Isn't this the design of the Lord? We know that men, I say it this way, we know men change what God says, but this is the design of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, He provided for an abundant and victorious life by becoming a member of one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches, by learning about Him, about worshiping Him on the Lord's Day and other service, special services, the ministries of the church, worshiping Him and serving Him. There's an argument that you can take service and cut that slice of worship out of there. But I tell you what, brothers and sisters, there's service to our Lord every minute of our lives. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, dedicated to the work and the witness and the Word and the will of the Lord in our lives. That's the abundant life. That's the salvation of the life. Let's take a look at some things here. Acts 15. Acts chapter 15. I trust you know about this passage. Here, those Judaizers have come in. They've come up, Pharisees that have believed, and Scripture says that they're believers, but they want to bring this of Judaism into this of salvation. In verse number 1 of Acts 15, look at this. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now, that's a lie. Okay? It says here, it doesn't say it in this verse, what we're going to see here. But so down there from the direction of Jerusalem, they've come to Antioch with this word. Verse number 3. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Paul and Barnabas are sent by the church at Antioch, along with these brethren that bring in this Judaism thing here and want to add the circumcision and other aspects of the law. And when they come there, they tell about the conversion of the Gentiles, it says. And that was a joyful thing to all the brethren that were there. Verse number 5. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying, this is in the church, that it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. Verse number 7. And when there had been much disputing, they're going back and forth about it, going back and forth about it, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth, that is Cornelius' house, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Salvation of the soul, right? Salvation of the soul. And so they're going through here and dealing with this. That they are saved. They have believed and trusted in Christ. Verse 9. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith, and faith alone in Christ. Salvation of the soul. Right? Verse number 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. I think that Peter he's leaving the subject of the salvation of the soul. Possibly that verse can be applied about that. But he's talking about going forward. See, they're saying, I've been saved. You need to be circumcised. There are those that are just like that today. Brother Mark's touched on them. And we know that they live. They say, somebody declares that they're saved. Said, you must be baptized. I tell you what, you must be baptized to obey Christ, but you must not be baptized to be saved. Salvation of the soul is between the individual and the Lord, and by the power of the Lord, and by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you know what? Then there's what's next. Then there's what's next by the design of the Lord. He says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Wait a minute, I thought Peter was already saved. The apostles are certainly saved. The membership there at the church in Jerusalem are saved, aren't they? See, here we have indeed the salvation of the life. We know even as they, their lives can be saved too. What do we see? This shakes out here in the coming verses. Verse 20. What they ultimately decided and the apostles spoke and the church sanctioned it and testified that it was right and good. They decided. James speaks, verse 20, but that we write unto them, those brethren in Antioch, that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Now, these four things that are mentioned here, is that going to wreck their salvation? By no means. They're saved by Christ. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to take and it's going to save their lives. Their lives are going to be honoring. You consider about these things here in verse number 20. If we partake of the pollutions of idols publicly, won't that bring a blot and a stain upon the testimony of Christ in our lives? If we would be fornicators and illicit and whoremongers, wouldn't that bring a blot and a stain and a reproach upon the testimony of Christ? And if these other things that are mentioned here and that pagan culture of that day that they dealt with and such, and we're to stay away from the drinking of blood, that's the life of the flesh is in the blood. We're to stay away from that, just like we're to stay away from murdering people. These things will be a testimony and a blot, but they're not the wrecking of the soul. But I tell you what, they sure compromise the life. They sure bring a chastisement of the Lord upon the saved child of God, don't they? So there's the salvation of the soul, and there's the saving of the life too. You want your life to be a wreck with no testimony and no witness of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ upon your soul? I tell you what, take your life and use it your way and what the world says, and it'll be just that. But if you want your life to be a testimony, though your life, the rest of the time that we have in this mortal flesh, to be a witness and a testimony of Christ and what He's done for you in your soul, obey Him and live for Him. Live for Him indeed. We go on here to verse number 28. Verse number 28. For it seemed good, here's what they wrote. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. That you abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood, from things strangled and from fornication, which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. So that's what they wrote. They encouraged them to follow and be obedient to the Lord. obeying the Lord and what He has given, things honoring to the Lord in their lives, in their flesh. In Romans chapter 6, the salvation of the life, the salvation of the soul, and now the salvation of the life. Verse 13, it's the reason we have verses like this in the Scripture. Scriptures are full of these in the epistles to the churches. In the epistles of our brethren to the membership of churches in the latter part of the New Testament. What's he say here in Romans 6:13? Neither yield ye your members as instruments to unrighteousness, unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether to sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Your soul is saved. You need to behave like you're saved and yield yourself unto that. Verse number 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. And you remember how this chapter ends up? This chapter is speaking to the saved. Last verse. For the wages of sin is death. You and I sin. Sin kills us. Sin compromises us. Sin brings a defilement upon ourselves and upon others. Don't you want your life saved too? Be obedient to the Lord. Because remember, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That abundant, victorious life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The salvation of the life. Romans 12, I trust you know it. Verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The salvation of the life. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service in the flesh. And be not conformed to this world in the flesh, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for His children as they live and walk. Shall lose our lives, his life, for my sake and the gospel's, our life will be saved. There's no better use. There's no better use of the life, of physical life that we have than for our Lord. 1 John 5, take a look here. I know your fingers and elbows might be tired, but we just gotta take these scriptures and put them together. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. Listen. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. As we walk in this world, as we live in this world, as we live for our Savior because He saved our souls, we look to obey Him, the child of God whose heart's right, looks to obey Him, and in that our lives are saved. You know, when we are dead and gone, when we die and they gather together for our funeral, what's going to be said about us? I tell you what, Jim, he sure worked hard and made a lot of money and he accomplished a lot of things, and the things he built were really great and all that, and that was just really something to see what he did there. Or do we want it to be a testimony of faith in the Lord and faithfulness and forsaking of this world for the sake of the Lord and following Him and being a witness of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do we want it to be a testimony that said, you know what, they really tried to live like their Savior, and you could see their Savior in them? What's the testimony that we want? Our Lord is honored with the latter rather than the former. And then, thirdly, the salvation of the soul, the salvation of the life, and then there's the salvation of the body. You know, there's nothing, the best that can happen with this old flesh and this old body is for it to be killed off. We're called to mortify it as the children of God. If you know anything about the Scriptures, what the Scripture says, to mortify, to deaden, to not listen to reject the will and the desires of the flesh, and to follow that which Christ calls us into, is the best thing for this body. And this old body, and this old mind, this old flesh, this old man, the best thing ultimately for him is to be killed off. The salvation of the body. 1 John chapter 3, we're very close. Verse number 1, behold what manner of love, 1 John 3:1, the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Oh, what love! How far our Lord has brought us. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. When he sent his Son, as the Lord declared in the parable, was not reverenced. Nor will we. We will not be reverenced either. But you know what? We follow in the footsteps of our Lord. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now don't get all molly grubby and sad sack about that, because that's just the way it is. Our rejoicing is not in this world and the relations in this world, from the standpoint of everlasting in that. We are to follow our Lord Jesus, because that is the relationship that matters. That's the relationship that's eternal. And we're not to be mean and aggravating either. And we are to be a good witness, and there is an aspect that our relations to men, women, boys, and girls, those in our lives and those whose paths we cross, are to be always representative of Christ. But the world's going to reject us. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, right now, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The saving of the life and the looking forward to the salvation of the body. Salvation of the soul, salvation of the body. No better passage than 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel summarized, and then that of the resurrection, given much attention to by this passage. I tell you what, you get down in the dumps, this is the passage, this is a passage to read, what our Lord has done for us. We come here to the end in verse 54, 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, that's talking about this old flesh that you can see up here, this body that I am in, yours, when it comes time, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The salvation of the body, one day it's going to be. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality. Can you imagine? We try to stretch, we try to understand how we will have no restraint, no struggle, no inner fight, no ache, pain, sickness, sorrow, discouragement. We'll have none of that in serving and obeying and worshiping our Lord. Our bodies will be saved, and that we have a body like our Lord Jesus. In conclusion, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What the Lord's doing is he's given the full spectrum. You ever expect the Lord to just give half? Half of his plan? I've got a design and a plan here. It includes about 4, 5, 6 points, as I listed them here. I'd highly recommend that you take me up on the top two. The Lord always wants everything and designs everything for all at hand. But the thing is, we can really get this straight being bugged about, but some just don't follow, some just aren't in all of that. I tell you what you need to do is worry about you. I need to worry about me. And we need to proclaim the goodness and the design, the salvation of the Lord, so that we can be saved, sinners can be saved in every aspect. Mm-hmm. Salvation of the soul. Your soul saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to glory to be with the Lord.
Amen.
Period. Not because Jim says it, but because the Lord says it.
Amen.
Now, you want your life saved? Obey. Obey. And you know what? The first step in obedience from salvation and believing in salvation, it's to believe them in those first works. Be baptized. Join his church. Learn about him. Worship him. Serve him. That's the full meal deal, if you will. Life can be saved. Used for the Lord in his design, in his way, in his purpose. And then look forward for the body to be saved one day. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Yeah, it's every aspect of it. He that believeth only is saved in that respect. That's where it starts. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Doesn't say anything about baptism, does it? Because it hadn't started off with the salvation of the soul. It hadn't started off with faith in Christ. It hadn't started off with repentance of sins and guilt before God, has it? And indeed, the unbelieving are damned. The unbelieving are damned. Because God says, we need a Savior. And those that reject Christ all the way to the end of their lives, to their last breath, or their last heartbeat, indeed are damned. Why? They've not believed. Their souls are not saved. Their life has not been saved. Their body will not be saved. Damnation of all forever. But you know what? The passage didn't start out that way. He that believeth, he that believeth can be saved. And he that is baptized, he that follows on in obedience, indeed can be saved. I don't know how else to say it, even more. Not a second blessing, but following the design of our Lord. Every good gift has come down from him. And the Lord has not just been talking just to hear his voice and have something written about what he said. He has given us the truth. I pray you'll believe him. If you're here and you're not saved, I pray and beseech you to believe him and trust in him and what he's declared.
He that believeth not, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. May the Lord help and bless his word.